The monk whose picture is up here by the Buddha image is a monk that a John Fung's students would call Venerable Uncle, Lung Dung. They call John Fung, of course, Tan Pa, which means Venerable Father. And they had a lot of respect for Lung Dung. He was not a forest monk. He was a monk in Bangkok. As a novice, he had met a John Lee, and he liked the forest tradition a lot. And when he had free time, especially when he was a younger monk, he would go around and visit the forest of John's. But he said he had a debt of gratitude to his preceptor, who was the supreme patriarch in Bangkok at Wabakut. And when the supreme patriarch died, Lung Lung decided to stay on at the monastery and look after it as a way of showing his gratitude to his preceptor. He was also the monk who arranged for John Fung to come and teach there. That's how I got to know him. And he wasn't like your typical Bangkok monk. There's a phrase that comes to mind when I think about him. It's a Zen phrase: the true man of no rank. He was true in that he was a very straightforward sort of person. If he would make up his mind to do something, he would do it. And he spoke of things as he saw them. He got into a lot of trouble for this. One of the reasons his rank was lower than it would have been otherwise. He would speak truth to power, and power didn't like it. Yet there were a lot of people who did like it, respected him for it, but they weren't the ones who were handing out ranks. I think he picked up his habit from his parents. Being with Lung Lung was interesting because he was very up-to-date in some things and very pre-modern in others. He would tell me about his childhood. His father had a lot of magic spells, the old spells of what they called Kata Akum. And one of the principles of these Kata, or these spells, is that you had to make a vow. And you had to hold by the vow, and that was how the spell had its power. If you broke the vow, then you couldn't use the spell anymore. The father had a wide range. One of my favorite ones was one he used to entertain the kids. Say they'd be walking from their village to another village at night. There'd be a village fair, say, in another village. They'd be going through the rice fields. And to give the kids something to do, the father would take the pakama, which is this sash, basically, that farmers wear. He would take it and he'd tie it up in a knot, blow on it, and it would turn into a rabbit. And the kids would chase the rabbit, and as soon as they caught it, it would turn back into cloth again. After Lung Lung ordained, and his father was getting old, he began to realize there was nobody to carry on his father's spells tradition. So he went and asked his father if he could study them. The father had taught one spell to the entire family. They had a hemophiliac gene, and so they needed a spell to stop blood. And so he taught them one. If you had a cut, you just put your finger on the cut, say the spell, and the blood would stop. There's one time Lung Lung was in Bangkok. This was much later in his life. He was walking down the street and happened to cross the road, and someone went through a red light and ran into him. And he went flipping over the hood of the car to the other side. The last thing he remembered before he fell unconscious was, well, that one's not going to last very long. Somebody saying that. He woke up and he was in the hospital, and the nurses were trying to stop the blood, but they couldn't. So I told them, could you please put my finger on the wound? So they did. And he said the spell to himself, and the blood stopped. So when he was a young monk, he asked his father if he could learn other spells. And the father said, okay, you have to take a vow. The term in Thai, satcha, means truth. You have to make a true vow, a statement of truth that you will pledge not to do something, or to do something. In this case, the pledge the father asked was that Lung Lung not disrobe. Now, he was a young monk at the time, and he didn't feel that he was up to making that vow. So the father, who had a lot of respect for his spell, said, well, in that case, I can't teach them to you. That was a characteristic of the old generations. They really respected the knowledge passed down to them. And they had a very strong sense of truth as the power from which your power as a person came, your goodness as a person came. So even though Lung Lung couldn't take that vow, he was very truthful in how he saw things and how he spoke of things. And being a person of no rank, not just that he had a lower rank than all of his friends, he was able to deal with people from all ranks. He tells stories. He would tell me stories of dealing with very poor people, speaking to the princess, speaking to the king. He was very direct with everybody. You know, he knew the proper forms, especially for people in higher positions. But he was also very direct and very truthful. And so even though he didn't get much of a rank, in terms of the ecclesiastical ranks, still he won the respect of a lot of people. Toward the end of his life, he was in position to become abbot there at the monastery. And a monk from another monastery decided no, that Lung Lung was not an appropriate candidate because he was too plain spoken. So that other monk made himself acting abbot. He came to the funeral and he was taken aback by how many people came. People from all walks of life had heard that Lung Lung had passed away. This was going to be his cremation. And the monastery was just overflowing with people. So there are people who respect truth speakers, even though they may not be in a position of power. And it's good to think about this tradition. We may not believe in the old spells, but the value of being truthful, of seeing something that should or shouldn't be done, and making a vow that if it shouldn't be done, you're not going to do it. If it should be done, you will, regardless of whether it's easy or difficult, regardless of whether you like doing it or not. Lung Lung had a very strong sense of duty in this regard. There was a time when he was a young monk, and there's a position in some monasteries, especially the larger monasteries, and especially the cremation monasteries in Bangkok, where there's one monk in charge of determining who goes to what invitational meals, who goes to what requests to chant. And when he was a younger monk, the monk who had that position really didn't like Lung Lung, again, because he was too plain spoken. So there was a period when Lung Lung got no invitations at all. He didn't complain. This went on for a couple months. And finally some of his lay students found out about this. They complained to the abbot. The abbot asked the Patudesaka for his records of who had been invited where. And he found, sure enough, Lung Lung's name didn't appear in any of the invitations. So he did something interesting. He removed that monk from the position and gave it to Lung Lung. And Lung Lung was a very fair person in how he handed out the invitations, as he told me. He wouldn't himself go on an invitation unless the people specifically asked for him to go. And as a result, he kept the position for, well, up until he died, which is rare in Bangkok. Because usually the monks who have that position tend to invite themselves to a lot of places, and then members of the monastery decide, okay, well, this person has amassed enough wealth from his position, let's give it the opportunity to somebody else. But in Lung Lung's case, that wasn't the case at all. He was very fair. As for the monk who had abused the position later on in life, as he was approaching death, he got very sick. And no one was looking after him. Lung Lung ended up being the monk looking after him, again, out of a sense of duty. And as the old monk told somebody else, here I am. After all these years, nobody's looking after me except the one monk I really hate. He still hated Lung Lung after all those years. But Lung Lung looked after him out of that sense of duty. And that's something that's disappearing a lot in our society, people who act on a sense of duty. We see so many people around us doing what they can just to further what they see as their own advantage. And those who will do something simply because it ought to be done, it really should be done, are rare. So Lun Lun was becoming a rare person in his lifetime. It's even rarer now. But it's something we can all choose to do. In terms of the Vinaya, we have our duties. In terms of our practice, in terms of the Four Noble Truths, we have our duties. And even the things that we do voluntarily, when you look around and see something should be done and there's nobody doing it, well, you go ahead and do it. That's a trait, that's a good trait to have as a practitioner. Because your ability to look after your duties outside tends to translate inside. After all, craving should be abandoned. It's not an easy thing to abandon. Stress and suffering should be comprehended to the point of dispassion. But what is the stress? It's our clinging, the things we hold on to dearly. Not just things, attitudes, beliefs. And we have to look at them and investigate them. To the point that we can let them go. And if you have a strong sense of duty, it's a lot easier to do this. So we look at the example of people from the past. And we regret that some of their virtues are getting less and less common around us. But that should stir us up to have a sense that, well, we can keep those virtues ourselves. It's a trait of a good person. You see somebody else has a good habit, a good capability, and you realize they're human beings. They can do this. I'm a human being. Why can't I? When you can think in that way, your memories of the past bode well for the future.